So we're going to read today from Luke. So if you've got your Bibles, Luke chapter 8, we're going to start with verse 4 to 15. Okay, so let me just read you what Jesus is saying. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds of the air ate it up. Some fell on the rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant, and he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they don't mature. But the seed on good soil, stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a good crop. Father God, I pray that you would speak to us all today. Speak to us, Almighty God, about what you want us to hear. Speak through me about what you want us to hear from this parable. Thank you, Father God. Amen. So, you know, I work at the university with Stuart, who's on holiday at the moment. It's actually how I was saved, through Stuart inviting me to things, and eventually I gave my life to Jesus. But before that, I was a bit hard to reach, you might say. He would always be telling me about Jesus, but then it would just bounce off me. You know, I wasn't interested at all. And yeah, I can see that in people, can't you, when you talk to them about Jesus. Quite often, their eyes glaze over. You know, it's like throwing seeds at them and them just bouncing off, and not even noticing. And we don't want that. Jesus doesn't want that. He wants all of you who are in here today to hear what he's got to say to you personally. At the university, there are 4 types of learners. Okay, there's 4 types of student that we have. There's no other alternatives, really, only these 4. There's wasters, okay? You can probably tell what they do. They come to university for the fun, the social life. They come to university to have a good time and party, okay? Then there are the surface learners, who are there, but they just do enough to pass, just do enough to scrape through. Okay, they're not really bothered. And usually they end up falling away. They usually drop out by the end of the first year of a 3-year degree. And then we have the strategic learners, who are there, you know, they stay till the end usually, but they don't do very well, because all they're focused on is getting good grades, and they're focused on that so much and getting a good job at the end of it, that they don't really have a love for the subject. But then we have the deep learners, the ones who love the subject that we're teaching them. They're just there because they want knowledge and nothing else. They're the ones who do the best, you know. They're the ones who get the best grades without even focusing on them. And that relates to what Jesus is talking about today. 4 hearers. And I want you to ask yourselves today, which are you? Which am I? Which type of hearer am I? So the first one that Jesus talks about is those along the path, the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away what was sown in their heart, takes the word away from their heart, so they may not believe and be saved. God wants us to be saved. You know, Jesus came to save us. His mission was to come to earth to save us from ourselves, from our sin. I'm wondering here today if you know that. You might be here for the first time, and you might not realize that. Jesus died for you and I personally. It's a personal relationship that God wants with you through Jesus Christ. When I first moved to Middlesbrough, 2004, sort of my accent's kind of in the middle of Middlesbrough and Kent. You know, I'm from Kent originally, but you wouldn't be able to tell, I don't think, nowadays. But I don't know, can you tell?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, good. So I haven't lost my roots. I'll keep doing that. I haven't lost my roots, hopefully. So when I first came to Middlesbrough, I moved into a bedsit just off Albert Park. I didn't know anyone. I came for a job at the university as a researcher then, and I didn't know anyone. I didn't know where Teesside was. I thought it was in London initially. I realised, no, it's a bit further up the M1 than that. And I came here, I didn't know anyone, and I was really sort of longing to be back home a little bit. But I knew I had this job that I wanted. I'd wanted this job for a long time, so I stuck at it. And I used to go home every weekend because I was homesick. I wanted to see my mum and my friends, you know. And so I used to travel from here all the way down to Kent, most weekends, actually, because I wanted to be around my mum and my friends. So what I did one time is that on a Friday, I finished work, and I went back to my bedsit. And my room in the bedsit was just next to the front door. It was what would be the front room if it was a house, all right? And what I did was, what I usually did is get all my stuff ready, all right, to go, put it all on my bed, my laptop, my phone, my keys, my wallet, get it all ready. And then I'd just, before my journey, go upstairs and have a quick shower, ready to go after that. And I did this one Friday after a couple of months of being up in Middlesbrough. And I came back down from the shower and all my stuff had gone. All my stuff had gone from the bed, completely gone. It turns out that someone had knocked on the door while I was out. An opportunist, you might say, had knocked on the door while I was out. And someone else who lived in the house had opened the front door. And apparently this man who came to the door said, "Ah, I'm just here to see this guy who's in this room." And my housemate, who didn't really know me, let him in. He let him in and he went into my room, took all of my things, and then walked out before I came down. Isn't it awful when you're robbed? When what's rightfully yours is taken from you? And that's what this first aspect of the parable is about. The devil wants to take everything from you, you know. He wants to rob our hearts. He wants to stop you from understanding the word of God. But we don't want to let him, do we? God doesn't want us to let him. You know, we can make our hearts hard, can't we? Like concrete, impenetrable, because of what happens to us in the world. You know, unfortunately, we're hurt quite often in the world. You know, when I was 2 or 3 years old, my parents split up. And that left me with massive trust issues. My father left, and I found it very difficult to trust anyone. And, you know, I found it very difficult to trust anyone right up to my sort of late 20s. But when I became a Christian, that started to change. Began to open up and trust people. You know, I wonder if there's any of you in here today who've done that. Because the world has hurt you so much, you've put the walls up in your heart, and you've stopped the word of God from getting through. I feel like God wants to break that today. You know, if you're not a Christian here today, you need to know that God loves you. He's got a plan for your life. He wants the very best for you. And he's a loving God. He loves you so much, he sent his son to die for you so that you could have a relationship with him. You see, there was a barrier between us and God, and it was sin. And Jesus came to take that away. We've heard about it lots this morning already. So if that's you, if you're not a Christian here today, I'd just like to encourage you to give your lives to Jesus this morning. If you haven't done so yet, I'm going to give you an opportunity at the end to come forward and give your lives to Jesus. The second type of hearer is those on rocky ground. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it. But they have no root. They've got no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. So just like we have surface learners at university, we have surface Christians as well, don't we? You know, the kinds of people who say that they're Christians, but actually they don't really have a deep relationship with God. I wonder if any of us in here today are like that. You know, Jesus said in order to enter the kingdom of heaven, you've got to be born again. Have you been born again this morning? The Greek for that term, again, means from above. Have you been born from above, born of God this morning? You know, I used to be a runner up until quite recently. I'm developing a little tie around here now because I don't do anything. But I used to compete as a runner. I wasn't particularly good, but I really loved it. And I tried to, when I first got into running, do everything. And I did a bit of cross-country running. And the first time I did cross-country, I didn't have any spikes. And, you know, it was up here in this area. And, you know, the winter up here is pretty brutal, isn't it? There's rain and there's mud and it's pretty bad. And cross-country is, you know, across the country, through forests and over fields. And I didn't have any spikes on. I just had my normal trainers. Okay. And whenever I'd turn a corner in that first race that I had, I'd just fall over. You know, I'd go running and then just be slipping around the corner and, oh, down again. Lost loads of time, loads of places. It was awful. My coach was watching. He was laughing at me. He said to me, "You look like a baby giraffe on ice." Can you imagine? Because I've got quite a long neck and long legs. A baby giraffe on ice. But, you know, next race, I learned from that. I got some spikes. Cross-country spikes are long. They go deep into the ground. They stop you from slipping and sliding all over the place. And that's what a real relationship with God does. It stops you from sliding this way and that with the world. And it keeps you firmly rooted and on course. The Apostle Paul calls the Christian life a race. He says we're in a race. Okay. It's important that we stand firm in that race. And the way of standing firm is having a relationship with God. Being honest with God. If you haven't got that relationship today, I want you to be honest with God and ask him for it. I tell you, there's nothing like it. The main thing that you do as a Christian is stand on the Bible. Everything in the Bible is what your root is, you know. I just wonder, is your root, everything that you do in life, is it based upon decisions that are made by looking to God, by looking at what he says in this? This is God speaking, you know. This is God speaking to you and me. If you want to know how to live your life, look at the life of Jesus. Right. You know, when Jesus came, he blasted the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the time, for just paying lip service to God, for putting rules and regulations in place, and not practicing what they preached, actually. And that kind of faith is superficial. It doesn't save. You know, the reason we do altar calls here on Sunday nights is so that people realize faith takes a bit of action, you know. Empty faith with just words isn't what God wants. He wants you to move in faith. He wants you to take action. Genuine faith requires more than just words. It requires action. So part of that is moving forward. And we're going to ask you to do that later if you feel that you want to be a Christian. I've been reading a book quite recently by Jackie Pullinger. And if you don't know who Jackie Pullinger is, she's a missionary to Hong Kong. And she started a massive ministry in Hong Kong. In the 1960s, she went to Hong Kong on her own. And she started to work in a place called the Walled City, which is the most deprived area of Hong Kong it was at the time. And she helped the drug addicts there, the heroin addicts, to get free from their addiction. And the way she did that was by getting them to accept Jesus into their lives. But she said that those drug addicts who came to her for help and who she'd lead to faith in Jesus, she said if the brand new Christian didn't have the basic commitment to change, then Christ couldn't change them. You know, as Christians, we need the commitment that we want to be more like Jesus. You know, being a Christian is being Christ-like, isn't it? We should desire that as Christians. Jesus' brother James, writing in the Bible says that useless or dead faith is merely intellectual. It doesn't save. God wants wholehearted surrender. Okay. The third type of hearer Jesus talks about is those that are among the thorns. Okay. Those among the thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches and pleasures, and they don't mature. You know, just as there are strategic learners at university, there are strategic Christians, you know. Christians who pick and choose what they will and won't do for God. You've heard about it today. Tom was sharing a word earlier about that. Do some of you need to repent and come back to God? Have you been following the ways of the world rather than God's plan for your life? There's a couple of things that get in the way of our lives as a Christian, and Jesus is speaking about them here. One of them is worrying, and the other one is riches and pleasures, or the things of the world. I just want to read to you what Jesus says a little bit later in Luke's Gospel about worrying. Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat, or about your body, what you'll wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens, they do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to this, to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest?" You know, as Christians, we don't have to worry. Ian's been speaking about it already. Giving things to God. You know, Martin, whenever I've met up with Martin, you know, he's told me to give things to God, and he's used a great analogy about it. He says, you go to your father's desk, your daddy's desk, all right, and you put your problem, your issue, whatever it is, onto his desk, and you say, right, you deal with it, Daddy God. You deal with it, Almighty Father. Because, you know, God of the universe, who made us, he made everything in this world, he makes the world go round, actually. He also loves you personally. The Bible says he knows every hair on your head. He loves you that intimately. So we've got access to that God. We shouldn't worry, should we, if we've got that? But we do. You know, the Bible also says elsewhere in Romans, we're no longer orphans. As soon as we come into faith in Jesus Christ, we're co-heirs with Christ, co-heirs to the inheritance. And we can step into that inheritance anytime we want. We don't have to wait for God to do it. We can go to him and ask for it. All right. So do not worry is what Jesus is saying here. We often put things above God as well, don't we? I wonder if you've ever put anything above God. I know I have. I know I do all the time. But it's important that we reprioritize our lives and get right with God again when we do that. Sometimes we leave the door open for the enemy to get in, don't we? Sam Ruddock was telling me a story about when he went to visit Ruth and Andrew in the Philippines. And, you know, they've got an adopted son called Janelle. Is Janelle, how old is Janelle now?
He's
18. Right. So Sam there when he was 17? Yeah. 17, yeah. So Sam and Janelle, apparently, correct me if I'm wrong, they went to stay somewhere in an old barn, was it, or an old building somewhere. And they were going to renovate it and change it and renew it so it could use as part of the ministry, I think. But he was telling me a story about, you know, they had to sleep there for the night, Sam and Janelle. Okay, Sam was 18 then and Janelle's 17. And they're a little bit scared. So they left the light on. All right. But they'd also left the doors and the windows open because it was hot, you know. So they left the light on. They went to sleep under their covers. All right. But then Sam said he awoke quite shortly after that to a really loud buzzing sound. All right. Bzz, 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 bzz. Really couldn't sort of get out of his head. He thought he was dreaming initially, but then he realized he needed to wake up. And he opened his eyes and he could see the walls on the floor were moving. They were moving. And he sort of took a double take, he said. And there was just thousands and thousands of insects in there. Big black insects. Just crawling all over everything. So he put his head back under the cover, you know. But the reason that happened is because they'd left the door open. They'd left the light on. And when we do that in our lives, from making wrong choices that we don't repent of, we don't say sorry for and come back to God for, the devil can come in. Satan can come in and make our lives difficult. You know, sometimes we have one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom. Paul says, do not be misled. He uses the words of a poet, a Greek poet of the time, who says, bad company corrupts good character. Bad company corrupts good character. Doesn't mean just people. It means TV. It means things like Facebook, doesn't it? It can be a massive distraction to us as Christians. Massive. We want to protect ourselves against deception, distraction, discouragement in this world. And the way to do it is to repent of those things. And I believe God wants you to do that this morning. If you're a Christian already, and you know that you've been living your life away from God a little bit, or maybe a lot, come for prayer afterwards. Repent of those things. Be free of them. You know, there's no condemnation here for you at all. I've often put things above God, you know. I've been a Christian only 6 years, all right, but it's been a very difficult journey for me to reprioritize. Last year, I finished this PhD. All right, I've been doing it for 6 years. It was really getting on my nerves. I hated it by the end of it. I was sick of the sight of it, this book that you have to write. But as part of that, at the end of it, you have an exam on the book where two professors from other universities come and ask you loads of questions about what you've written. It's petrifying, I tell you. They came, these guys, and they asked me all these questions, and I answered them, as it turns out, in a satisfactory way. But as I was walking out of there, out of that exam, knowing that I'd passed, I got a text from Martin. You know, Martin, who's the pastor here. And he said to me, Tom, will you do communion on Sunday? He said, brother, will you do communion on Sunday? And I thought, yeah, I will, Martin. And God was speaking to me in that moment, telling me I'd been putting my PhD, my career, above God. I'd been putting that seemingly good thing above God. And I wonder, have you surrendered everything to God this morning? It's difficult. It's a massive challenge, isn't it, for us to do? The Bible says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. What a challenge that is. So I'd like to encourage you, though, to repent of that, to reprioritize this morning. If you know you've been living away from God, reprioritize your life. Put God back and your life will improve. You know, there are also those on good soil. Good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a good crop. As Christians, there's really no other option than that for us to desire, to want. You know, just as there are deep learners, there are deep Christians, you know. Those who are on fire for God, seeking God at every opportunity. We see them at all the prayer meetings because they're just seeking God. I'm not saying you have to go to all the prayer meetings, but you can tell people are seeking God if they're there, if they're at every meeting, if they're praying all the time, if they're led by the Spirit. We should want this as Christians. You know, my mum's here today, aren't you? Hi, Mum. It's an amazing story. It's one of the first things I prayed for is for my mother to come up here from Kent. You know, she was alone in Kent and she had cancer. But we prayed, you know, it was one of the first things I ever prayed for. God not only brought her up here, but he healed her from cancer as well. Hallelujah. But she brought me up as her only son. All right, on her own. Must have been really difficult. But she used to encourage me all the time. She was a great mother. She was like a mother and a father to me. But she said to me, she always used to say to me this little saying, It's not what happens to you in life that matters, but it's how you deal with it. So my question to you today is, how do you deal with it? Do you try and deal with it yourself? Or do you ask God to deal with it for you? You know, it's really the way to be a Christian is that, isn't it? You know, there's this flag that's flying outside of where I work at the university. It's on top of the Dickens pub. And it's absolutely battered, this flag. All right, it's fraying at the ends. It's all dirty and ripped. But do you know what? It's flying. It's attached to the mast and it's flying. It's carried by the wind. You know, as Christians, we don't have to do it ourselves. We can be carried by Almighty God, by His Holy Spirit. You know, when you become a Christian, you get the Holy Spirit guiding your life, and you can call upon that any time. But often we don't do that. We often try to deal with things ourselves. Stu calls me a fixer because I like to try and fix things immediately. All right. And partly that's good sometimes, but not often. Often it leads to me making errors and mistakes because I'm trying to do it from my own strength rather than from God's strength. You know, you've got free will. God created you and I with free will, didn't He? We've got the freedom of choice. Jesus died to give us freedom. All right, we've got freedom to decide how deep we let the word of God go in our lives. I took my 4-year-old daughter, Georgia, swimming the other day too. We've moved to Middlesbrough recently, and I took her to her first lesson in about 3 or 4 months. And we lived in Gisborough before, but her last lesson was in November, and she started these lessons in February at the Rainbow Centre now. And I took her there, and it was packed. Have you ever been to the Rainbow Centre on a Saturday morning? Flipping heck, it's packed, absolutely packed. And there's loads of kids there, you know, it was the start of 12 weeks of swimming lessons. There was loads of kids there, loads of different ones. And there was really probably 4 types of kids there. There were those who were absolutely petrified. Their parents have said, right, we're going swimming. We're going to teach you how to swim because it's important that you learn how to swim so you don't drown if you ever fall in the sea or a lake or anywhere. All right. But they're absolutely petrified, these kids. They don't want to go near the water. And sometimes, actually, they're so scared that their parents have to take a moment. They have to try again another time. There are also children there who just are a little bit curious about it, but very scared still. So they put their little foot in, you know, little toe in the water and see what it's like and then realise it's really cold and then cry. All right. And sometimes they can't do it and their parents take them back and maybe bring them another time, hopefully. And then there are those kids who get in, they're in the water, they're in there splashing around a little bit, but as soon as a bit of water goes in their face, oh no, that's too much, they cry. And I was sat next to a work colleague of mine who was in there as well, and his daughter's 7 and our daughter's 4. And his daughter was really scared. She was in the lesson, but she was only sort of getting waist high in the water. She wouldn't really do it. She wouldn't swim, certainly. She wouldn't put her head under the water at all. You know, she was scared. And then there's our daughter, Georgia. You know Georgia. You know that she just does everything 100% all the time, all or nothing. She was right in there, splashing this other 7-year-old girl, you know, in the face, making her cry, which we didn't teach her to do, you know. But she was just in there loving it. And there was other little kids, some of them tiny, just loving it, loving the water, getting fully immersed. They let them jump into the deep end at one point, which I was a little bit worried about. But, you know, they're just in there. God wants us to be like that. He wants us to be in Him all the time, in Christ all the time. And I just want to encourage you that if you're not, start to be. Why not? God loves you. He's got a really, really good plan for your life. You can ask Him for anything as a Christian, and He'll give it to you. God doesn't want lukewarm Christians. He wants willing workers, doesn't He? People who are willing to follow Jesus. Christian means following Jesus, trying to be more like Jesus. You know, Nicky Gumbel talks about the church. The problem with the church is a bit like a football match. You've probably heard this before. There are thousands of people at a football match, most of them in desperate need of exercise, and they're watching 22 people running around in desperate need of a rest. We don't want our church to be like that, do we? This church, in order to grow and move, needs all of us in here. And I don't think it's a mistake that you're in here today. God wants you to be part of this movement of God. He wants to equip you and use you, but you have to give yourself to him in order for him to do that. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, you don't have to bow your heads. Someone told me recently that God's up, not down. So it's up to you. But if you just close your eyes, I'd love to pray for you. You know, if you're not a Christian here today, let me just tell you again, God loves you. Jesus died for you. He died so that the barrier that was between us and God could be removed and that you could enter a relationship with Almighty God. So if you'd like a relationship with God, if you'd like to follow Jesus this morning, would you just lift up your hand? Would you make that first step of faith and just lift up your hand this morning? If you want to know Jesus, thank you. Bless you. Awesome. Okay. Anyone else? You can put your hand down. Thank you. Anyone else this morning? It's your opportunity to come to God this morning. Maybe what you've been doing in your life hasn't been working. Maybe you've been trying to do it in your own strength. God wants to say to you, you don't need to do that anymore, son or daughter. Come to me. I'll carry you from now on. Anyone else? Anyone else? Bless you guys. Okay, well, if that is you, thank you. Bless you. Awesome. If that is you, when I've finished speaking, I'd encourage you to come to the front here. Just come to this side of the stage, all right? And we'd love to pray for you so you can know Jesus. Also, though, I'd like to pray for those of you who know that you've been away from God. You're Christians. You've given yourselves to God. Maybe you're a new Christian, maybe you're not. It doesn't really matter. But I want to pray for you that you would give your lives fully to God. You'd no longer follow the ways of the world. You'd give your lives fully to God. So if that's you, I'd like you to just come down here when I finish speaking to this side, and we'd love to pray for you. And then finally, those of you who are deep in with God, I'd just like to pray for you as well. I'd like to pray that you persevere, that you stand firm, and you can say no to the devil and yes to God all the time. Okay, bless you guys.